You're listening to Second Half Sports, the leading sports podcast show, where raw opinions, hot takes, and bold predictions are a staple. Brought to you from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. Now, here are your hosts, Cameron Sissel and Nubar Akparian, in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Second Half Sports Fantasy Football Award Show. We're your hosts, Nubar Akparian and Cameron Sissel. Cameron, how's it going today?
I'm great, Nubar.
You didn't ask me, but I'm doing fantastic.
I don't care.
We got a jam-packed episode today, guys. We got a full-on award show for all of you guys. We're going to be talking about our fantasy MVPs, our biggest sleepers, and our biggest disappointments.
And we have a special surprise for everybody. We have
big
not
surprise.
Not one, not two, but we have three guests on today's
not
show. You'd think that next week.
Tree.
You'd think that next week.
Tree guests.
Which I don't know if you know what next week is. It's episode 40. But this is episode 39. You'd think that we would save like a bigger thing for episode 40. We do have big plans for episode 40, but...
Do you know why we don't save big things for milestone episodes?
Every episode is big. So why don't we give the people what they friggin' want and get right into our season recap of the 2021-2022 Fantasy Football Award Show.
Who's our guest?
Our three guests. Let's go ahead and bring them in.
All right, gentlemen, we're here, Cameron, myself, and our committee of judges. Committee, why don't we go ahead and introduce yourselves to the crowd? We're going to start off with the fan favorite, Mr. Taylor Johnson.
Just introduce myself to the listeners?
Yeah, dude, that's kind of what happens when you get asked.
You pretty much did it for me.
Yeah, but, you know, you can give a little bit more in-depth of a background to yourself again. I mean, everybody knows who you are now at this point. You've already been on, but
I've been on. All right. I've been on to talk about. I remember last time I was on was week one of the NFL season. Boy, this season sure flew by, didn't it? But
it did.
Yeah, it did.
I do believe that my prediction for the Super Bowl doesn't need to be repeated. Doesn't matter that I said it. And, you know, I was riding high after week one, but now, you know, it's been a crazy, crazy year of football, and we're going to kind of sum it up for you, and I won all my leagues, so I just want to put it out.
Yeah, that's that didn't happen. So
that's a hell of an intro.
Next up, let's get we're saving the best for last year. Yeah. So let's get another reoccurring guest on the show. We're gonna go with Jonah. What have you been up to?
Not only am I not the best for last, but I'm not the VIP guest. That hurts. The guy that needed to be introduced after you had already introduced him needs an introduction, and I'm not even the esteemed guest. That hurts.
All right, now moving on to our second half sports virgin, we got
Eric.
Eric, tell the crowd a little bit about yourself. Who the hell are you?
Hi, guys. First time caller, long time listener of the podcast.
Dude, you got a fan going in the background? Stop breathing in your mic.
Wait, is it still going?
Yes, no. You're still here.
Okay, all right.
None of this is being cut. All the embarrassment is on you guys. Here.
Okay. Yeah.
Who are you? How do you know about us? What have you been doing? Give us the quick elevator pitch here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Eric Trimble. I'm a longtime friend of Nubar and Cameron. We lived together during college, and Cameron and I played basketball together. And I like talking about sports, and I'm excited to be here today. Who's editing this? Is this who's gonna edit this, Cameron?
Unfortunately, I am.
It's gonna be Cameron. Good luck.
So as you already know, this is the 2021-2022 fantasy football season recap. We're gonna go through all the awards. We're gonna hit some stories, some matchups that you disliked and liked, what you thought about your season, and a little bit more. With the first award here, we're gonna start off We're going to give Eric, since this is his first time on, we're going to give him his answer, his chance to give his answer first. But we're going to go fantasy season MVP.
Starting the best.
Who was first. Your MVP, yeah. Eric, and why?
I mean, this might be just my opinion. There's a good argument for it, but I'd say Cooper Kupp, to be honest. He scored the most points, and I mean, we had a long argument the other day at a Blazers game on how talented he really is, but I feel like he was the one who really like showed out this season and really frustrated me from not drafting him. So I would choose him as my MVP, or him, or I'd say Jonathan Taylor.
You gotta pick one.
My words.
Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp.
It seems like Cooper Kupp is his unanimous pick there.
We're all gonna do the same thing for this one. That's literally the two dudes I had written down as well.
Oh, I didn't think.
Dude, go ahead.
I don't know.
I got one. I got one that's a little different.
Okay, what's yours?
I got a little curveball. Okay, now this is. I know. We're talking about full season here, but I'm talking about a guy that also stuck it through to the end and helped people win their leagues, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, I know obviously he didn't have the season like Cooper Kupp did, but there's a large percentage of people out there that only won their leagues because of Amon-Ra St. Brown. And obviously, long-term, like the entire season, it's going to be Cooper Kupp or Jonathan Taylor, but I think Amon-Ra St. Brown should also be mentioned in there because there's a lot of people out there that only won their leagues because of him.
Okay.
I think that's a good pick, but I mean, what about all the people that didn't make the playoffs and then still and then picked up Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know? It didn't really help them.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say that about CMC. You could say that about DeAndre Hopkins. You could say that about a lot of the guys we're going to probably be talking about.
Also, full body of work. He didn't really play that well all season long, and you touched on it, but I think you got it when you're naming an MVP. I mean, and especially when you have guys like Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor that went off all year. So, yeah.
Well, Cameron, who do you have as your fantasy MVP?
Okay, I have a different fantasy MVP than all the names we've named. I had this guy on my team, too, so that's another added value to why I named him my MVP, but that is Mr. Deebo Samuel. He was the third best wide receiver, averaged 21.3 points per game, but also played running back, especially in the second half of the season, and not only played running back, but played extremely well. So I have him kind of as my do-all guy, especially on my team this year. So I was heavily favored to go and, you know, put the ball in his court in the MVP discussion. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Deebo Samuel is definitely up there, and I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is definitely the most unique fantasy MVP nominee. But I got to go with my boy, Lil Cooper Kupski. I also drafted him, and I drafted him pretty late. I think it was like fourth round, end of fourth round in our second half sports league, and he paid off. I mean, the guy was a monster in fantasy. And I think even before, obviously, with Robert Woods like getting hurt, but even before that, he was putting on, and it's one of those picks that you don't really expect. You expect like fourth round production, and then you get, obviously, the top wide receiver in the league. So Eric and Taylor, confer with you guys. I think Cooper Kupp is the MVP. I think that's three votes for Cooper Kupp.
Yakima Valley.
Well, so Eric said that if he didn't go with Cooper Kupp, he'd go with Jonathan Taylor. Taylor, are you also in the same boat? You'd go with Jonathan Taylor?
Well, to Jonah brings up an interesting point, because when you talk about a guy's most valuable player, I mean, I think about a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, the type of value that you got from him all season. I mean,
yeah,
half leagues, that guy went, who knows, sixth round, seventh round, even later, and he was, what, a top 10 receiver all year, and on top of that, puts up 50 burger in the playoffs. I mean, if you had Ja'Marr Chase, odds are you had a couple other guys too. I won the only league I had Ja'Marr Chase in, I won it outright. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it definitely is. But again, if you're going all season long, he did have a great season, but you can't really argue that Cooper Kupp didn't have a better season. He averaged eight more fantasy points.
Well, I think Ja'Marr had a little lull there in the middle of the season, but you know,
he did.
From a value standpoint, if you think about it, you could have had Kupp. I'm sure there's teams out there that had Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase. But
I'm sure.
100%.
I don't know.
I'm sure.
Cup, definitely. I mean, that's a no-brainer. 145 receptions, I think. Triple crown, a receiver. Putting dudes on skates in the playoffs.
He's nice.
Yeah, not to mention he's only got one game below 15 fantasy points all season, only three games below 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've never seen a season like this. So he's obvious. I think he's the easy answer. But also, I mean, these guys are just like, you know, if you had to pick another guy besides the top two guys, you know.
Who had him in the league?
That'd be Nate, I believe.
Oh, well, that's just.
Damn, what a shame.
He also had Derrick Henry, but he fell.
Yeah, well, he picked Robert Woods over him.
And yeah, that hurts.
Ever since.
Eastern Washington alum. Davis High School alum. Taylor, did you say that already?
Davis High School.
Davis High School.
That sounds familiar, but
he's from Yakima.
I knew that.
We played him a couple times.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyway.
Well, Cooper Kupp couldn't be here to accept this award, so on his behalf, I will be accepting the Fantasy MVP award.
You look kind of like him.
Thank you. I would like to thank the Academy and our panel of judges. But that's enough of that. I think it's time we move on to the Waiver Wire Wonder Award, Cameron. This award is essentially what it sounds like. Who do you have as your waiver wire wonder? The guy that you picked up off the waiver wire that ended up winning for you the most. Maybe he ended up winning you a league. Maybe he ended up giving you great seeding in the playoffs. I want to hear from you guys. I could start.
You go ahead and start.
So it's Cordero, baby. Cordero Patterson, waiver wire wonder. I think he had like a 2% draft rate, and I think that 2% was like from his family members, because I don't know who in the right mind was drafting Cordero to start the season. But the man was insane. I think he finished the season on like RB9, I want to say, something like that in PPR. The third week of the NFL, he had three rushing touchdowns in like the first half. The dude's been insane. And obviously he kind of petered off towards the end there, the end of the season, but he was pretty consistent in the top 10 of running backs, especially in a season where there's a lot of injuries, a lot of dudes that you were kind of expecting to go off that didn't. Yeah, I think you got to give it to Cordell Patterson there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good pick. I'm gonna go, and then we're gonna hear the rest of our panel's choices here. Jonah's probably gonna get. I don't know if this would be his pick as well. He might get a little upset, but I am gonna go for my. He was also a sleeper, but Hunter Renfro, wide receiver for the Raiders, number 10 ranked wide receiver. Averaged 15 points a game. By the end of the season, he was owned by 92% of in 92% of leagues. He only had 4 weeks, I think, or 3 weeks, 3 weeks where he scored under 10 points. Mm-hmm. And in his last five games, he was just going off again, including a 14 or 13 catch performance against the Chiefs, 117 yards and a touchdown where he had 28 fantasy points. But he was solid. He stepped up this year big time. And Jonah can attest to this because he, you know, was just the biggest fanboy of Hunter Renfro all season. But he put on this year. And I think it was a combination of he's a really good route runner, and they also were missing Darren Waller. And we all know what happened with Henry Ruggs as well. So he did have a little bit more of the target share there. But that is my pick. So let's hear from the rest of our panel. We'll go to Jonah because I know that he either was going to go with Hunter Renfro or he's got something new for us. Let's see. What do you got?
I do not have something new. My only waiver wire wonder was actually Hunter Renfro. Okay. Yeah, I got him early in the season in our 12 team league. He only has 3 weeks where he wasn't double digits, which I don't think there's many people that can say that, honestly, especially guys that didn't even get drafted. But I mean, just like you said, Cam, he really turned it on. I mean, there was a stretch there, 17, 18, he gets 8, but then 22, 20, 29. I mean, just a guy that was consistent from beginning to end. So that's the easy answer for me is Hunter Renfro, no doubt.
All right, I like it. Let's go with Taylor. Eric, you'll finish it off.
Okay.
I don't know if I really had any guys off the waiver wire that contributed all season. It's more so, I mean, I feel like, with running backs, there's so many injuries that if you're on top of your like injury reports, I mean, half the time, like with the Niners, for example, you didn't know who they were going to throw out at running back, but whoever it was going to go off. I mean, I got Elijah Mitchell at the end of the draft. That's the one thing that I'm thinking about.
That's a great.
That wasn't a waiver wire pickup, but choice. He was solid all season when he was healthy. So,
I mean, I would consider Elijah Mitchell like in this category. I mean, he was a rookie, especially at the beginning of the season. He was like the third string running back.
Yeah, because Mostert was healthy like for a game or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
Mostert, Sherman, and then even like Jeff Wilson. They wanted to use Jeff Wilson a ton.
I mean, seriously, when you think about Elijah Mitchell, like seriously, like the definition of a waiver wire wonder. Like think about how many guys had to go down and how many guys like had to not fit into that because everyone at the beginning of the season thought it was going to be Raheem Mostert or what's the other guy's name, the other rookie?
Sermon. Right?
Trey Sermon. Yeah, everyone thought it was going to be Sermon. And then both of those guys go down. Then Hasty's still there and Elijah Mitchell. And they got Kyle Juszczyk and they got Jeff Wilson. So, like, literally for anyone to come out and be even upside of top 25 is pretty wild.
And on top of that, the wide receiver gets half their carries now.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's wild.
Well, Taylor, in the beginning of the season, Dawson Knox could have been your
– Oh, yeah. There you go.
Dawson Knox was solid, but, I mean – Fucking Gesicki put up a zero burger week one. Cuddy picked him up, and then he started going off because I drafted him. I was sick. I drafted Gesicki in all my leagues. He fucking gets 0 points week one, and I was fed up. I was like, fuck that. I dropped him in all
my leagues. Week one, after week one, I was fed up.
Oh, man.
I remember that.
Talking about the Niners, I mean – Looking like if the Niners win the Super Bowl, then by default, the Seattle Seahawks are your 2022 Super Bowl champions.
All right, let's move on to Eric.
Eric, what do you got for your waiver wire pickup of the year?
So the funny thing is that I was going to say Mike Gesicki. I picked him up like earlier in the year. I really wasn't expecting a lot out of him. And it was nice to just have him in my lineup and not have to worry about like the production from him. And he was pretty consistent and... I mean, I did have a backup tight end just in case, but I was sitting pretty with Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, that's a pretty good.
Well,
this
makes it difficult to choose.
It does make it difficult
for
our
nominees.
Well, I just didn't have a lot. I just didn't have a lot of sleepers or waiver wire pickups.
True.
We like you anyway, Eric.
Hunter Renfro probably in most leagues.
Wait! We forgot about a huge name. We got to talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, honestly, if you had him, you picked him off the waiver wire, you might have won your league because of a guy on the Lions.
Most guys did. Most teams did.
I think Amon-Ra.
Because I had him in the league. And
There's the world's smallest violin in the background.
I think the thing that plagues Amon-Ra in this category is the lack of production for the full year, right? Like, when I think best waiver wire, I also think like this player catapulted you into a better standing throughout the season.
True.
Where I think Amon-Ra was definitely playoff wise the guy to do it. But in terms of a full season, I will say this just for Cordero's sake. The man's like 36 years old, been in the league forever.
Yeah, he's on the decline.
Was expected to be absolutely nothing in that offense behind Mike Davis and then came out and just dominated. And of course, like they had no Calvin Ridley for a majority of it.
Right.
But just something to note. But I think Hunter Renfro had two votes. So
yeah.
You said Cordero's 36.
He's old, man.
I don't think
he's only
30.
He's only 30.
Well,
but he's older in terms of the NFL. He's been in the NFL for a long time.
In running back years, that's like 50.
He's always been a gadget player, so he really isn't. We can't really call him a running back because he didn't play running back like this until this season.
Yeah, true.
He's been a punt returner for, I mean, years and years now.
Sure. Right. Hunter Renfro, though, and St. Brown probably are the consensus waiver wire pickups. We'll say co-waiver wire pickup of the year winners.
I like it.
We'll call that St. Brown and Hunter Renfro are our choices here from our panel.
Unfortunately, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Hunter Renfro couldn't be here, so I will be accepting the award on their behalf.
You look like it.
Thank you. So I am now the waiver wire wonder.
Okay, we are moving on to our next award, best sleeper pick of the year. So this doesn't have to be from the waiver wire. It could also be like somebody you drafted and you like feel super proud about, or you just want to brag because you drafted them and you were like the only person to have belief in them. Let's go ahead and hit Eric first.
Okay. All right. So I would say Matthew Stafford. I know it's not probably everyone's pick. Yeah. I had him in all my leagues and he was pretty unreal this year. And I didn't understand why he went so late, because I mean, you think about the weapons he has and he's always been pretty decent. So when you put him into that system, like, of course he has results like this.
Eric, I was pretty happy about it. Kind of sounds like you're a pilot or something talking through an intercom.
Oh my God.
You got a fan on it back there? Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think Matthew Stafford is definitely up there. Yeah, it was definitely surprising to see how low he went in drafts, especially with everything that you just said, like all the weapons and everything. Yeah. Anyway, up next, Jonah, you want to take it?
That's a tough one. I'm going to say, you know, someone that I talked about a little bit to Cameron at the beginning of the season, and I think we talked about this on one of the episodes that I was on, was Ramondre Stevenson. There was like before the season started, I heard someone was talking, I think Field Yates on ESPN was talking about, and Matthew Berry were talking about Ramondre Stevenson. And so I just drafted him, on a whim in every single league that all four leagues I'm in, I drafted Ramondre Stevenson as my last pick, 'cause I could get him at pick, you know, 200 plus, whatever it was. And while it didn't really turn out early in the season, I ended up dropping him most of those leagues. I mean, he really turned it on later in the season. I couldn't pick him up at that point once he was really turning it on. So I would say definitely Ramondre Stevenson was up there near the later end. But for me personally, someone that I was targeting in all my drafts that isn't maybe that big of a sleeper, but someone I thought could push for top at the position was Justin Herbert. I was huge on Herbert in all my leagues. I've talked to Newbar and Cameron about this and on the podcast. I wanted him in all of them. I got him in 3 out of 4. And while he did definitely have a couple of weeks where he was only putting up 15 or 16 points, there was a ton of weeks where he was putting up 35 plus, even a couple 40 plus. So for me, my big sleeper where I got him in every league, just about where he was being drafted really was Herbie. And I mean, we've debated his talent level and what we think he's going to do next year, but Herbie was a big one for me. And I think also going next year, he's going to be one of those guys that I'm going to try to target again, because he'll probably be after Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and those guys. So I'm probably going to target him again as kind of like my kind of sleeper, I guess you could say.
Good to know.
Okay. Yeah, really good to know.
Yeah, really
good to know. Yeah, if you guys decide to take Herbie next season, you're dead to me.
Yeah. All right, Taylor, what do you got?
Hold on. I mean, in the league, I don't even know, man. I drafted horribly. It's a miracle that I even won 5 games. I had to scrape for every fucking win. Scrape, dude. But if I had to point one guy out in this league, like, you know, it's nothing major, but talking about my boy Adam Thielen, who is, I don't know, maybe got him in the fifth round or something, but all year he was just solid. I could depend on him. I didn't have to worry. I mean, I think he had one or two stinkers, but other than that, it was 15 to 30 every week till he got hurt towards the end of the season. And then I picked up this is your boy KJ Osborne. He played pretty solid, but
yeah.
Man, that's tough. I'm trying to go through my Yahoo League right now, but I can't load it. Anyways, if I had to say one guy, I'd probably say Adam Thielen. He was solid all year. Justin Jefferson vultures a lot of his catches, though, but they both get pretty good production.
Yeah. Those are some pretty good picks. I'm going to go, if I wanted to oppose Jonah, I could say Damian Harris, because Jonah knows that was my boy going into the draft.
Yeah,
I think I took
boy.
Him in like 3 out of 4 leagues. I took Damian Harris, and he was solid all year. But no, my choice that I am going to go with is Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver for the Colts.
That's a good one.
I didn't really know anything about him coming in. I just drafted him just because I thought T.Y. Hilton is getting pretty old, and I didn't know what other targets they had, and so I kind of just took a chance on him in the 9th round. And he turned out to be pretty solid. He was only the 17th ranked wide receiver, so not like super high, but he ended the year 92% owned in all leagues. And I think he only had like three or four weeks where he was under 10 points in fantasy. But in the big games, he had a lot of clutch fantasy performances that that really got me wins that I had to have, where maybe my season could have taken a turn and gone down the shitter. He put on for me. So he was my my sleeper because I took a chance on him in the draft. I think there were a couple other names I could have gone with in the ninth round, but I don't know. It's just one of those random dudes you just take a chance on. And that's, I mean, we're going to talk about it later in the episode, but I think next year that's the thing that everybody's going to be doing just with COVID and injuries. You just take chances on dudes. So he panned out for me. But yeah, Damian Harris too, just like Ramondre Stevenson, was an interesting guy to watch kind of grow all this year. Patriots as a whole too, but we'll let Nubar finish it out here.
All right. I got a guy that nobody's mentioned so far, and Cameron, he's your boy, former Oregon State product, Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, he was pretty solid.
Brandon Cooks was projected, I think ADP wise, like wide receiver 37 to start the season, and then finished right around wide receiver 16. So I mean, I unfortunately didn't get a chance to get Brandon Cooks in any of my leagues that I played in, but I really wanted share in Brandon Cooks because he was the only guy on that offense that was going to get any sort of work.
Well, and the Texans are Doge.
The Texans are Doge. And even without Tyrod, Punctured Lung Taylor, and General Mills, he was able to produce. So, and it's kind of interesting because like he's had multiple 1,000-yard seasons with four different teams in the past. I think it was like the Saints, the Rams. Did he play for New England at some point?
Yeah.
But his ADP was so low this year because he went to the Texans, but literally they had nobody else to give the ball to. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get him in all of my drafts. I wasn't able to, but he's my sleepiest of the sleepies.
That's a pretty good one. I don't think we're going to come to a consensus on this one. Consensus. Because I think all those dudes are pretty worthy of being a sleeper. I mean, there's other dudes too that were pretty good sleepers. Javonte Williams, Jonah, I know you were pretty high on him.
Of course.
That's a pretty good sleeper.
Didn't Nass trade you him for Jared Cook?
Yeah. That was a pretty shitty trade.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Jalen Waddle, he was getting drafted pretty late because he was a rookie, and look at him at the end of the year. He was going off.
Dude.
You could argue Dalton Cooper Kupp, too.
Cooper Kupp. Yeah. Dalton Schultz was another guy.
Tyson Williams was another one.
Tyson.
Tyson.
Yeah,
Tyson.
Yeah, and then Tyson Williams. He was a good one, too.
Allen Robinson was a great pick. Sleepiest of the sleepiest.
Yeah. Speaking of Allen Robinson, we will move on here now to the biggest bust.
Yeah, unfortunately, none of those guys were here in person to accept the award, so I'm going to be accepting the award on all their behalves. So.
You look like them.
Thank you. Yeah, biggest bust. Here we go. You know what? I'm just going to kick it off.
Yeah, why don't you kick it off?
Mr. Saquon Barkley himself, Mr. Bovine Joni, that guy. Like, I know you're coming back from an injury, and it doesn't suit well when everybody's drafting you and he falls. Cameron, I think in the second half sports league, he fell to you in like the third round or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want any part of that guy. And I think CMC is going to be in equal territory to what he was this year. I think he finished like running back 30 something over the course of the year in PPR. You couldn't really ever play him. And then I think he came back from injury at one point midseason. And then he busted up his ankle and it swelled to the size of a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, biggest disappointment, Saquon Barkley. You just, for a guy that destroyed in college, rookie year puts on, to then have this horrific injury happen to him last year on the first game of the season, to come back and then have this kind of mediocre performance over the season. Yeah, biggest bust.
Doesn't help that the Giants are absolute dog shit and their front office is dog shit. So yeah. Taylor, let's move to you because I know you had Saquon in the league.
Yeah, I had Saquon. Unfortunately, I also had Allen Robinson. those were two of my top three.
All right,
that's why I went 5-9.
Yeah,
You know, Allen Robinson. Listen, man, I have nobody to blame but myself. I drafted a Bears wide receiver. They made a commitment to Andy Dalton going into the season. Matt Nagy made a blood pact with him that he would start. And, you know, Saquon, I don't know, man. It's going to be really interesting next year because I think that people are going to really think twice about who they draft in the first round, you know, based on projections. It's like, see, you're not going to take CMC over Cup next year in the first round, I would imagine. I mean, Saquon Barkley at this point has yet to make it through a full season healthy. I mean, what pick can you really take him at? I don't think any earlier than the fourth round. So,
well, I think unfortunately for a lot of people that drafted CMC and like Dalvin and stuff like that, as much as I love those dudes, I think this might finally now be the next year might be the first year where people actually think to themselves, do I want to take this guy because he will get like these guys always get injured now.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is though, like over the course of you can look back to like 5 years, all the dudes that are in the top ADP most likely are not the dudes that you're drafting at the beginning of the year, right? Like, it's seldom. Like, you'll find one or two guys that were in the top 10 that still stick around. And then everybody else are guys that are either second, third round, or even, like, undrafted folk that come through.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to follow that. But, I mean, for Allen Robinson's case, like, I think it was less of a it's disappointing, and I do think he is one of the biggest disappointments of the season. But it's less on him and more on how that team is and their quarterback play and like Andy Dalton not getting him the ball.
Yep.
I think Saquon Barkley just like with the touches that he got underperformed and with injuries and just dealing with that. But Allen Robinson, like it was just kind of difficult. I don't know.
All right, let's move on. Jonah, what do you got?
Biggest bust. There was one guy that I had really bad at the beginning of the season, DeAndre Hopkins. I was really worried about getting him in any leagues, mainly just because of that COVID stuff that happened, right? I don't know if you guys remember that now, but I mean, I don't think he's vaccinated. And then there was, you know, that talk at the beginning of the season about him maybe retiring because of it. So I just didn't want any piece of him in the first place because of that entire situation. And then, you know, there was definitely part of the season where, you know, we saw normal DeAndre, but then there was also the part where he's injured and there's so much unknown. And Cameron, I'm sure you can speak about this more because you had him. Yeah. But that to me is like a guy that I think got drafted so high, just like Saquon, and then just really didn't turn out even in the slightest.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was just more so like, you know, he was window candy. If, you know, essentially, I think a lot of people just drafted it because they know what he did. What his career has been is just immaculate. And so I don't know.
No reason not to draft him.
Arizona just utilized him differently. And I think he was more of a goal line target for him, but he also opened up a lot of other dudes, you know, that maybe not or can't do it by themselves when he's not playing. So I ended up trading him away just because I didn't feel good about him. But then unfortunately he did get injured too. So Eric, what do you got? Biggest bust.
Mine was Antonio Gibson. He was my second pick. And I mean, looking at it now, like he didn't have the worst numbers necessarily. But it would be like, 20 point week, and then next week, 4.4, you know. So like I really didn't trust him. And I also had Jerick McKinnon too, so like I really could not decide on who I wanted to play. Mm-hmm. And just that got really old really fast, and he was dealing with a shin injury the entire year, and he just never recovered from it. And
you mean McKissick, Eric? You mean McKissick, right?
Wait, what did I say? McKinnon? McKissick, JD McKissick. Yeah,
McKinnon is the guy on the Chiefs right now.
Pretty nice for the Chiefs, though. Yeah, little side.
Same.
Yeah,
different, but same. all right, I will finish off I'll finish off biggest bust here. My biggest bust for the 2021-2022 season was Mr. Julio Jones himself.
Oh. Yeah, you were
I was super high on Julio Jones this year. I thought new team, new team, new player. I thought he was going to be re-energized, rejuvenated, and ready to go. I liked Ryan Tannehill more for him than Matt Ryan because Matt Ryan's just getting a little bit older. So I was like, okay, this is going to be a nice switch of pace. And also AJ Brown's going to take off some of the pressure and he'll be able to open up a little bit more. The dude is the 92nd ranked wide receiver. He missed like 6 games. The best game he had was game number 2 and then the last game of the season. Everything else he had 5 points or like 1 point. I mean, he just did not do shit all season long. And I don't really know what, I mean, in the beginning of the season, it was like, oh, him and Ryan Tannehill, like their timing is off, you know, and I can understand that. but then he missed a couple games, comes back. Their timing just never got on, and he just looked bad. So he was getting drafted in, like, what, the third round? What everybody say? Like, third, fourth round he was getting drafted, and everybody was, including myself, was super high on him, but he just, he sucked dog shit. But yeah, my other guy, my secondary bust, if I had to give one, is Kenny Golladay. I think a lot of people were high on him coming off of an injury. New York Giants. He signed that huge contract, and he was also god awful this year. Yeah. And he just looked like he didn't want to play most of the time.
I think Nash started Golladay and Slayton together multiple weeks.
You're just going to call him out all episode?
Maybe.
Can we give the biggest bust award to the New York Giants instead of a singular player for just being a god-awful team and organization?
Yeah, I think they were biggest team bust was probably the Browns. Come on, who's getting a text right now? I think biggest bust as a team was definitely the Browns, though.
Yeah.
Different question, but yeah. So biggest bust, I would probably, I don't think we have a consensus for
we gotta get a winner here. We gotta choose. All right. Everybody, you have a choice between Saquon, Allen Robinson, and then who'd we say? Kenny Golladay, Julio Jones.
How do I take I don't know how to. Because if I mute the sound, then you guys are muted too.
I know.
Go to notifications.
Oh, do not disturb.
Turn them off.
Do not disturb.
Yeah.
You're a model of professionalism, Taylor. You really are.
Taylor, the first podcast you were on, I don't know if you've gone back and listened to it at all, but you were sitting in here and you kept like picking your glass up and setting it down on the table. So the whole podcast, you just hear glass hitting the table.
Well, I was running on like 3 hours of sleep and I was baked, so I wasn't feeling good.
Yeah. I didn't know that. If we would have known that before, it would have been a different outcome.
Yeah. It's all good.
All right. Biggest bust. I don't know who we're going to give that to. Let's just, let's give it to Allen Robinson.
Saquon.
Thank you.
We're going to give it to Allen Robinson.
So I guess. Thank you.
There we go.
Yeah, either one.
Fantastic.
And he's not here.
Yeah, neither of those players are here, so I'm going to be accepting the award on their behalf. I'm the biggest bust of this year.
You
the best
look
bust.
Like them.
Thank you. Moving on. Now, Jonah, you're going to love this one. The Nothing to Something Award. The player that was nothing this year. Or
why is Jonah going to like that one?
Because I know who's going to pick.
Something?
I know who's going to pick. Nothing to Something. Who's the guy that wasn't on any radars this year that now all of a sudden is going to be on a lot of radars next year? And Jonah, go ahead. You take it away because I think I know your answer.
LeBron James.
Yeah, okay. Yep, that's exactly what I had guessed.
Okay, no. See, Nothing to Something, that's a harder one for me because I feel like a lot of the guys on my list I thought had the talent, but maybe not the opportunity, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead. And this guy is going to be my big guy for next year. It's going to be Javonte Williams. I mean, we already knew he had the talent. I think now this season was just the opportunity. Next year, I'm thinking he's probably going to get it because I can't imagine they're going to hold on to Melvin Gordon again. So I'm gonna go with Javonte. I think Javonte is going to be big. But also, maybe a player that maybe we didn't know so much about for me was Dalton Schultz on the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Schultz for me, beginning of the season to the end. I think I maybe benched him a couple of weeks because I didn't like the matchup. But just another guy consistently scoring double-digit points week in, week out. That's with the whole situation with Zeke and Tony Pollard, who was going to be the guy there. And then I had CD in so many leagues, and it seemed like every week CD was either having 30 or 6. And Amari Cooper, kind of the same thing. So there were so many unknowns for Dallas, I thought. And the fact that Dalton Schultz was that one lone bright spot that consistently was scoring double digits and really putting on for his team. So I was going to say, I'm thinking next year Dalton Schultz is going to be in the conversation because I don't think that all those guys are going to be there. So I'm going to say Schultz as a Nothing to Something player, but as my kind of my sleeper for next season, I'm going to go with Javonte.
Okay. Taylor, why don't you give us your Nothing to Something?
No.
Well, I mean, the obvious one I would say would be Debo. I mean, this guy went from you know, being a guy, an afterthought to a guy that's going to go probably in the first round of most drafts next year. I don't see how he could get passed up on that. But another guy, who's that? Let's see, hold on.
Can I say something about the Debo thing while you're still thinking, Taylor?
Yeah.
See, I think the thing with Debo that's really hard is like, yeah, we didn't ever see him having a season like this. But on the other hand, we knew the skill was there. He's just like, to me, he's a lot like Will Fuller, where, you know, Will Fuller, if he played a full season, if Will Farrell played a full season, he would be a top 10 wide receiver. He puts up these crazy numbers. Problem is, he just gets injured. It's the same thing with Debo. We know that Debo's skilled. It's just he can't stay healthy. And, I mean, look what he did when he was able to do that, right? So,
yeah,
right.
I think that's just what I want to say about Debo.
All right, I got one more. Here we go. It's A.J. Dillon. This dude's got legs the size of tree trunks. He's young. And they really – it's a nice 1-2 with him and Aaron Jones. So I'd expect to see – I mean, A.J. Dillon wasn't on anybody's radar from what I can remember prior to the season. But he had some really solid weeks there where he was splitting carries. You know, when Aaron Jones is banged up, they'll give him the ball at the goal line too. So I think A.J. Dillon's definitely going to be a guy that people are going to look at maybe as their running back two next season.
For sure, yeah. He's going to be solid.
I mean, I remember Cameron and I talking about how nice A.J. Dillon would be if Aaron Jones left in free agency when we were talking about free agency talk prior to the season starting. So
he's automatic on the goal line too, of just of how big he is.
He's
alone.
So big.
Yeah.
He's so big.
All right, Eric.
Eric, what do you got for us? Bring it on.
All right. You ready? I mean, you watch more college football than I do, but mine has to be Najee Harris. Najee?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good choice.
He was fantastic this year, dude.
I mean, he was like the third or fourth running back taken off.
He was getting drafted high, but I know.
But he hasn't proved
anything
yet, though. He hasn't proved anything yet, and we were just taking a chance on him because he's a rookie. I didn't expect him to be that good, though. And you know I'm keeping him this year in our Keepers League.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying, only because, I mean, I doubted him, honestly, going into the draft. I didn't think that he deserved to be ranked as high as he was being drafted, and I didn't know if he was going to perform that well, but he's going to be right back up there next year. So, yeah, I definitely think that's a great pick.
We feel that that way mostly about, you know, rookie running backs. Saquon was like that, too.
Yeah.
You know, he was drafted super early.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine.
No, great pick. You want to go ahead?
Hey, thanks.
Yeah,
man.
I'll take it, man. Nobody said it. Nobody said it, and I expected Jonah to say it, but the sun god himself, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Nothing
wow,
to something.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
He's
all over the board today. I like it.
The guy was a rookie, right? Nobody expected anything being on the Lions. Jared Goff sucked ass. I mean, he still kind of sucks ass.
Literally, he's just sucked ass.
and he was pretty bad, too. And yeah, I mean, like from what he did in the playoffs, like hopefully he can ride the hot hand going into the next season. Obviously, like I don't think there's much of a sophomore slump going into that because he didn't have much of a rookie season until the postseason, or at least for the fantasy postseason. So yeah, he's my nothing to something. I mean, I think that's a true nothing to something right there. I don't know what Eric's talking about taking Najee Harris in the first round and then how he's nothing, you know.
Also, what a dope ass name, Amon-Ra.
Right,
that's
the sun god. Yeah,
that is sick.
All right, ladies and gents, my biggest nothing to something for next year. He was drafted and going mainly in like the third round in this year's draft, but I think DeAndre Swift is a definite guy who next year he's going to be going in the first and second round, most likely first round. No, this year he was getting drafted later because they got Jamal Williams and nobody knew what their offense was going to look like. He was getting drafted a little bit later. This guy gets he gets so many touches.
Think he was getting drafted?
What?
What round would you say he was getting drafted?
What, this year in most leagues?
Yeah, this league. Or this year.
In the league, he got drafted in the third round.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty
late.
All right.
The dude just can't stay healthy.
I'm just saying, I mean, I think next year, if he's fully healthy, just like a Debo thing, if he's fully healthy, I think this dude, from what he did this year, he missed like five games. I mean, if he's healthy, you can definitely depend on him. Against Pittsburgh, Jonah, you know best. Against Pittsburgh, he had 33 touches, 36 total touches. I mean,
yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you 100%. I think next year DeAndre Swift is going to – I mean, he should be coming off the board he should be a first or second round pick.
Yeah, he's for sure top 10 running back next year, maybe definitely. Top five if he stays healthy all year.
I don't know about
that.
Maybe
I agree
top 100%. Five if he stays healthy all year, top five.
Well, you know, this is just to build off Taylor's hatred for Brady, basically, because of the season that Brady had. But Brady had DeAndre Swift just, like, sitting on his bench for part of the season. Mm-hmm. I mean – yeah, I mean, he was a great player. I mean, I know he had the injury stuff, but I drafted Jamal Williams in so many leagues thinking that both of them were going to be stars. Yeah. And Jamal Williams had a couple weeks, but I mean, it was the DeAndre Swift show from beginning to end, basically.
Yeah, I picked up Jamal Williams too, just because I thought, I mean, he had such an impact in Green Bay. You think he's going to do the same thing in Detroit, but he dealt with injuries too, and then they didn't utilize him as much, and it kind of just fizzled out. But yeah, I'm thinking next year they got to utilize DeAndre Swift if he's healthy, and they got to get Jamal Williams in there as the change of pace guy. But I don't know. I'll throw a couple other names out there for the nothing to something, and then we'll come up with who
it's
we think is the consensus winner.
Not
I know,
help
but also if I mean we already talked about Elijah Mitchell, he was definitely nothing to something. I think Elijah Moore, the wide receiver with the Jets, rookie guy, he's improved his stock for next year. I think Odell Beckham Jr. next year with the Rams improved his stock after what he's done since he got moved over there. I think if Kenny Golladay with what he did this year, I think Kadarius Toney, younger guy with the Giants, I think he dealt with some health issues after he came and played his first game and went off in that game. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah, he's like the one-week wonder. That should have been the award we had.
He put up like 0.2 in like 3 weeks, and then he put up like 40 or whatever it was.
Yeah, there's some other guys there for sure. But my vote for nothing to something for next year, or for like going into next year, even though I said DeAndre Swift, I think my vote has to be for Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I got one here that's a little bit different, but I feel like it needs to be said. The Detroit Lions, I think next year we're going to be talking about them as the nothing to something team.
Really?
They're really hard.
I honestly think, like, I know that they ended up as one of the worst recorded teams, like, in terms of record this season. I just feel like with Dan Campbell, I love him as a coach for them. And he just, I mean, just his intensity and how he just works with this team, I just love him as a coach for them. And honestly, you think about the guys they had. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown came on. We're talking about DeAndre Swift. I mean, if he was a little bit healthier, obviously Jared Goff is atrocious, right? But, you know, I mean, also Hawkinson was pretty good. They've got other guys too. So I think next year, I don't know. I think we're going to be surprised about the Lions. I think they could be the nothing to something next year.
Over under six wins.
I'm going to go over. I'm going over six wins for the Lions next season, 100%.
I'm saying under still.
10 or better.
I mean, you guys, honestly, I could pull it up really fast, but if you look at the Detroit Lions matchups, like this season, the amount of games that they were in that were – I mean, they had to lose the biggest field goal in NFL history, longest field goal in NFL history, had to get kicked against them to lose. I think there was a lot of games that could have gone either way, and we could be talking about them already having five wins versus the two or three that they have, but just things didn't fall their way.
At one point, I would say they're probably the best team in football that had the best 0-10 team in NFL history.
Yeah. I think we said that actually a couple weeks in a row on the podcast, that they were one of the best, like, terrible record teams in the NFL just because of how hard they play. I don't know. I still give them under six wins next year, but I do think they win more. I mean, they definitely deserve the respect that they played for this year.
Yeah.
So,
well, we need a winner.
Yeah, we do need a winner. I'm going to vote for Amon-Ra, like I said. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's probably the most significant nothing to something.
I agree.
We got an I agree from Eric. Taylor?
I agree.
Amon-Ra?
No, I don't think so. I think Elijah Mitchell.
Ooh, okay. We have some. All right.
All right, Jonah.
Oh, man, that's tough. I am also going to have to go with, I think I'm going to go Amon-Ra just based off the adversity that the Lions had to face and the fact that San Francisco already really depends on their running back. So I feel like Amon-Ra, he's my guy.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm taking him as well. So actually, Amon-Ra is here. He's sitting on the couch, so he will be the award himself.
Watch what you say here.
And yeah, I will not be taking this one home, but I'll take the other one.
Here you go, Amon-Ra.
There you go, man. Hey.
See you later.
Thanks for your service. All right. That's it, guys. That's
all for awards, at least.
Yeah, that's all the awards that we got. We got a rest of a show to finish up, but
now we do have some talking points.
Oh, we do, I guess.
We do. We got to hit on. Man. I just want to hear.
Hey, get these guys off.
I want to hear what everybody's going to do differently next year in their drafting schemes. I want to hear something that maybe could have swung the pendulum a little bit different this year. In your direction, a trade you should have made or shouldn't have made. What do you guys think about the season overall?
Who's going first?
I think you are, Eric. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go first. I haven't, to be honest, I don't make a lot of trades, and I definitely should have done that this year. I had Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, and I feel like I definitely could have let one of them go pretty early on because they were both looking really good.
Yeah.
Didn't pan out like I thought they would.
Hey, cut to me asking you literally every single week for one of your running backs.
But I don't trust your trades at all.
Bro,
it's
whatever.
Fine. It's fine. There's two different types of people, and it's fine if you
good
don't trade.
Good people and bad people.
It's good if you don't. It's fine if you don't trade. It's fine if you don't trade. There's no hidden formula to winning, and it doesn't say that you have to trade.
But yeah, I should. Taylor, that's technically, what I meant. But
trading more.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Taylor, I'd love to hear your perspective on your season. What you'll do differently.
I'm gonna go with just don't ever draft a Chicago Bear or a New York Giant,
that's a pretty good rule of thumb.
I don't know. I would say this year the draft, I did a lot of mock drafts, and then once it got time for the real draft, it never goes like your mock drafts go, right? Because everyone's a little biased. Everybody kind of knows who everyone likes, and so it's a little different. But, I don't know, man. It's going to be a long offseason of evaluation, and I like my chances next year, so let me just guarantee it. Right now, I'll guarantee it.
I like the pool of players that we have going into next year, though. I feel like there's going to be more players to choose from going into next year.
Yeah, it's different.
Along with, there's always rookies, obviously, but I don't know. I think a lot of guys came out of the woodworks this year. So
yeah, that's not how that works.
Yeah, that's exactly how that works. Jonah, what are you going to do differently next year?
Oh, man. What am I going to do differently? I'm not going to lay a finger on Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I am going to stay away from every team that has a running back by committee. The Ravens, the 49ers, the Broncos. That killed me. The Broncos killed me this year. I'm going to stay away from the Cowboys because that also killed me this year.
Yeah, well,
I just feel
also
like
helped you because I had Melvin Gordon against you in the semifinals and he had fucking like 2 yards.
Hey, the Glizzies didn't stand a chance.
I had the best in my league, bar none.
All right. And I think I'm just going to stay away from certain situations. Like I was saying, running back by committee, I'm just kind of the Cowboys, too many guys. I'm going to stay away from situations where I feel like there's just too many offensive players. And then I'm also going to stay away from guys that I think are stars, but maybe just don't have the best outlook because I drafted Terry McLaurin this year, Scary Terry, thinking that he was just going to be a huge name. And he was for about like 5 weeks. And then after that, it was like you get eight, you get 30, and then you get six, and you get 30. So yeah. I'm going to stay away from just situations that there's just some questions, questionable situations out there.
You could have been an honorable mention for biggest bust as well.
Yeah, honestly, McLaurin, I think, McLaurin definitely should be up there. I mean, I think he was taken typically in second and third rounds of most drafts. And I think he ended up probably up inside the top 25, but you don't feel good about it at all. You don't feel good about it at all.
I think it's tough with running back by committee, like what you're saying, avoiding that. I think it's tough because I think a lot of teams are moving to that,
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think the other thing that's there's so many guys now, right? Like, you see the Ravens had, you know, 5-6 guys they could have started running back this year. So I think it's like, it's really appetizing for like a team, but like for fantasy, you know, in the past, I've been that guy to draft one guy of a running back by committee. And then I've got lucky where the guy that I had was the guy that, you know, that really showed up for that team. But then, right, you know, you're on the other side of that, and it's just the worst feeling because you're waiting for this guy to do something. I had it with Michael Carter this year. Was waiting for Michael Carter. He came on, got injured, and then I couldn't use him after that. So, yeah, I'm just going to stay away from situations like that. Go running back in the first round, get someone really good, and then just stay away until later in the draft.
Yeah. All right, Newbar, what you got?
Yeah, so I'm not doing this shit sober next year. That's for damn sure. Like, I put so much work into this offseason this year, and I really, like, tried to study, and I really tried to, like, get as much information as I possibly could to make my decisions, and none of it really panned out, and I'm fucking done with it, right? Like, I'll do my work for the podcast, and I'll do that, but when it comes time to draft, I'm just going to have fun this year, like, this upcoming year. I'm not – because I'm 100% more comfortable losing, knowing that I took the pick – I picked the dudes that I was, like, comfortable taking as opposed to what the media and everybody else told me and, like, numbers told me to take. So I'm just going to have fun with it. That's my take on this next year. And I'm not going to do it. Come draft day, I'm going to have a few brews in me, and it's going to be a fun time. And that's going to be my strategy right there.
Yeah, I think my strategy, or what I'll do differently next year, I don't think I'll do anything different. I think to Eric's point, trading for me has been working the last, like, handful of years, and I think I don't know, I just think trading, like, refreshing your team a little bit until you get a select few players that you actually feel really comfortable with starting each week. But I mean, that can happen even through the draft as well. So, like I said, there's no real formula for it, but I said it earlier in the episode, I think drafting just, like, random dudes like Michael Pittman and, like, Damian Harris, like he was drafted a little bit earlier, but no one really was, like, super comfortable taking him in a lot of drafts this year. I think drafting, like, just some, like, random dudes that you think could potentially break out, it's also high risk, high reward, right? But I don't know. I think I would probably stick with that formula going into next year. That's probably where I'll go with my draft strategy. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. We do have one special request from Jonah that we should insert now, a one name type of guy where everyone says the one guy they want on their team. Maybe not a top player like Cooper Kupp or Derrick Henry, but the one guy that you want on your team that maybe wasn't in, like, the top three for each position. One guy that you need on your team next year to start the year off right and have a good foundation for your squad. So we'll start with Jonah since he suggested it, and that'll give everybody else time to think about their player.
I had no time to plan.
I know, no, I didn't either. But hey, that's what this episode's about.
Spontaneity, I like it. Jonah, my one name. Wait,
what did you just say? Spontaneity.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, spontaneity.
That's not a word.
It is. Spontaneity is the word.
It is a word.
Spontaneity?
Yes, spontaneity is a word.
That is not a word.
Newbar, trust me, bro. Trust me.
I understand the word that you're trying to say, but is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. Spontaneity is the condition of being spontaneous behavior or action. I can spell it for you. Spontaneity.
That sucks. That's okay.
All right.
That's okay.
Man, it sucks board. when you teach English, you better hope you know words, okay?
I want you to know that Cameron and I are both Google searching to try and get, like, a soundbite.
No, you know what I'm Google searching, Jonah? Just so you know, it's okay. Oh, you just did the sound.
Wow. You were right.
Jonah,
okay.
Who's your guy?
Hey, Newbar, why don't you go ahead and apologize to everyone that's listening to this? Because you just look like an absolute fool.
Right here.
Okay?
Right here. Here we go.
Jonah, who's your guy?
Okay, my guy for next year, Eric has actually talked about him quite a bit, and I know that he's going to be drafted in the first round, but my guy for next year is going to be Najee. I think with Big Ben on the way out, I don't think that we're going to get a big target like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. So what are the Steelers going to do? They're going to build around the run game, which means strengthening their offensive line. So I'm thinking regardless of who we have behind the offensive line next year, whether it's Dwayne Haskins, someone new, or dent in his head, Mason Rudolph, Najee Harris is going to have just a stellar season, better than this year, top three running back next year.
All right, I'm going to go with Evan McPherson because he's a god.
Oh my god.
4 for 4 in his, what, second playoff game? I don't know what he was in the first, but.
Yeah, that's
Evan
a pretty
McPherson.
Good choice.
There you go, boys, ladies and gents.
You should take him 101.
I like it. Eric, what do you got?
I got Patrick Mahomes.
Jesus, you got.
Well, I mean, he was kind of doubted during the fantasy.
Come on, Eric. Come on. Give us a name, bro. Give us a name. Come on.
Patrick Mahomes?
Wow.
Yeah.
I got Evan McPherson and then Patrick Mahomes to counter me.
It would have been a better name.
Dude, he was doubted.
Yeah, Jackson Mahomes could have been good there.
I mean, right. A real someone that we're not talking about.
Okay.
Someone that's like not in the top three at their position that could push for top one.
You just started with Najee.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean,
I said he was outside of the top three in running back, but I thought he would. Oh God.
All right. We'll move to Newbar. Eric, we'll give you a second.
Jesus Christ. Okay, all right. Okay. So. Kind of controversial, but I think Gabriel Davis could have a bigger role on the Bills coming next year. And I think that's a little bit of a recency bias with what he did. I mean, he just dropped 50 fantasy points this past week. But especially as like the guy that's opposite Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley, I think Gabriel Davis could be a really nice safety blanket for some weeks. Another name that I was going to throw out is Hunter Renfrow. Again, a little bit of a question mark because they didn't have Henry Ruggs and they didn't have Darren Waller. But I think he proved himself to be a viable player in that offense. And I think it's hard to overlook. I think he's going to be drafted. So, yeah.
Eric, what do you got?
That was quick. I like... oh, my God. I like, I don't know, Leonard Fournette.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I like nice. The idea of having him on my team next year.
Yeah, he was only the fifth running back this year. So
yeah, it's not bad.
Well, I tried to trade Saquon for Leonard Fournette like halfway through the season, but it's like at the start of the year no one was drafting Leonard Fournette before Saquon.
No.
Yeah.
And then I traded him away to Cameron, and then he goes on to win the championship. So
yeah, he was
Cameron won off a lot of trades.
You fucking bet.
I
am going to go with a guy who didn't play all year long and now he's playing in the playoffs. My boy Cam Akers for the Rams.
Oh, yeah. That was my other name. Nice.
Next year when he plays for the Rams, I mean, they're showing it with how confident they are going into the playoffs, just playing him off an Achilles tear. I think he's going to be their lead guy next year and he's raw. So,
yeah.
He did try and single-handedly hand the game to Tom Brady.
I think he's the guy next year that I'm definitely going to try to target. But when he ran over Buda Baker and knocked him out and then was talking trash to him, that was a low point for him, though.
Well, he didn't know that Baker was knocked out when he was talking trash.
Yeah, but it's still a tough look for him.
It is, but I mean, what are you going to do? It's not like, you know, he had no idea that he was actually hurt.
Buda Baker, though, Seattle, Bellevue, alum.
Can I just say
there you go.
Bellevue proud.
You guys think that Tom Brady is kind of relieved that he lost because now he can be like, finally, someone beat me and I can just retire? Because like
probably not.
But think
no
about
competitive
it.
Like, person
last
says
year when
that,
he won
though.
The Super Bowl, he's like, shit, I can keep doing this.
Maybe. Do you think he retires?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay, interesting.
But like, no competitive player would ever be like, oh, I got my ass handed to me, time to hang it up.
No, he didn't like, really get his ass handed to him. I mean, he played a good, he almost came back and won the game for him, but like, dude.
Yeah, but like, if he was going to retire, it would have been after he won the Super Bowl.
No,
yeah.
Because if he wins the Super Bowl, in his head, all he thinks about is, God, I'm still the best. Like, until someone knocks me off, I'm going to keep playing. I think that he can find peace with that now.
He came out in an interview, though, a couple weeks ago and said that the way he wanted to go out and wants to go out is winning a Super Bowl. So, I mean, he probably would want to win it this year.
I mean, he's already got 7, so it's not like he's really tripping.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. All right. Well, to get to end this little interview session, we're going to go ahead and get your guys' Super Bowl picks since we are in the NFC and AFC championship weekend here coming up. What do you guys think? Who's taking it home? As another person gets an email.
I'll take the Bengals.
What?
America's
Taylor?
Team, Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, that's it. That's a
to win it
pick.
To win it all, really?
Well, that's who I want to.
Wow, yeah, that's bold. I like that.
It'd be cool to see them win.
Because otherwise, it's going to be a team from the NFC West or the Chiefs, who I'm just kind of tired of watching at this point.
Okay, so you want the Bengals, but do you think that they're going to win?
I'm not tired of watching the Chiefs. I'm tired of seeing them win just because fucking Jackson okay. Mahomes sucks. But no, the Chiefs will probably win.
Yeah, I'll go. I think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. Who else wants to go?
Chiefs.
Oh, Eric, there you go.
I'd like to see the Rams win, though.
Rams would be cool to see in the Super Bowl, at least, even play in the game. But, Jonah, what do you got?
Oh, man, that's tough. Man, I think the easy answer is the Chiefs. So I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm thinking Rams defense comes alive in the Super Bowl and upsets.
Cuddy says you're a coward.
He's going to be the favorite.
That'd be good.
Cuddy says I'm a coward?
Yeah, live a little, Joey B. America's team is the Cincinnati Bengals. They're our last hope. Good.
Hey, right, why are you on the podcast and not Andy?
Hey, good teams win, great teams cover. Bill Burrow.
That is a good motto to live by. Great motto to live by, actually. All right, Nubar, take us home.
If this was last week, I would have said, give me Aaron Rodgers and his immunized ass, but that didn't pan out. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm from L.A., so I got to go with the L.A.
Wait,
Rams.
You're from L.A.?
Oh,
yeah, man, did
dear
you not know?
God.
Wait, since when?
Like a few years ago. Yeah, I decided I was from L.A. a few years ago.
Dear so you God. Like the Clippers or?
Sparks. Yeah, LA Sparks.
And with that, that is the end of our recap here for the 2021-22 fantasy season
awards.
And just overall thoughts. Andy, did you want to add any last comment there?
No, we just need a punishment for next year.
Yeah, we do. That we can agree on.
We should have talked about this.
Yeah, we should. We'll get it done next year. Maybe we'll get it on the pod so it's in writing, figurative writing.
Loser has to record themselves doing every part of the NFL Combine.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys getting on here and giving your thoughts.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, all thanks, right. Eric.
Hey, later, thanks, boys. Eric. Only Eric.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Had a great right, time. Boys. Thanks, guys.
Peace. Love you guys. Love you guys.
It's been real.
Well, that was something.
That was something. I thought it went well.
That went great. I've lost all my energy for the episode now.
Yeah, I feel like taking a long nap. Maybe hibernation.
Can I just sleep here?
No. See, cool? I have this thing where you have to go.
But we could do bunk bed type thing.
No. That's okay. I'm fine.
All right. Well, that's the end of our episode. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Second Half Sports. Always grateful. As Cameron said, this is episode 39, so next week we're going to be hitting you with episode 40. I don't know what we have planned quite yet. Do you know? I don't.
I don't, but I'm sure we have stuff in
the
works.
Big stuff.
We have stuff waiting in the wings.
Waiting in the wings. As always, thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Go follow us on Instagram at Second Half Sports Pod. Follow us on wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere else. Cameron, do you got anything?
I don't have anything. I just want to thank our guests. They're going to love this episode once we put it out there.
Yeah, we had Eric on for the first time today.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
He was great. But no, that's all I got.
Fantastic. Then I think it's time for us to bid adieu. And as always,
we'll see you next week and drive safe.
Drive safe.
Thank you for listening to the Second Half Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts today. And check out at Second Half Sports Pod on Instagram for all your Second Half Sports news and updates.